Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of The Fifth Quarter, our college football podcast. I'm your host, John Shomo. This week, we will review a very busy week 5 in the world of college football. We'll talk about some other issues in the sport off the field, and then we'll pick up on some feature games and make a few predictions for next week's week 6. First off, though, off the top, I'd like everybody to know that we are thinking about all you folks in Western North Carolina, South Carolina, East Tennessee area. It's a really beautiful part of the country. Our family, Tammy and I, spent a few days there last year up in Asheville, that area. And it's just a gut punch to see the photos and videos of what happened there due to the hurricane this past week. It's just awful. Our thoughts are with you. I hope we can rebuild those places. It's such a nice area, and we had such a good time there. Please, everybody, take care, and let's hope that all the aid that is possible gets there as soon as possible. Okay, now to football, the play store of life, really. Last week, week 5, began really in earnest on Friday evening. There was a crazy ending in Coral Gables, if you might have been watching, the Virginia Tech-Miami game. The officiating crew, I think, was very confused on the final play of that game. Virginia Tech threw one into the back of the end zone. There was a scramble of about 6 people back toward the end line. It was originally called a catch on the field, and after a 7-minute look at all the replays they could look at, they overturned it and called it an incomplete pass, which gave the 38-34 win to Miami. It probably wasn't a controlled catch if you look closely at a couple of the videos, but they did have clear evidence. Did they have clear evidence on the replay to overturn the call? I think that's doubtful. It's weird how it all played out. Probably in the end, I think they got it right, but in the wrong way. Nevertheless, it's a big win for Miami, who remains undefeated, and it's a real gut punch for Virginia Tech, who now has to try to rebuild real quickly and make something of their season. Doubtful that they got it right the first time. All right. The other thing that happened Friday night is Rutgers continues to chop, man, just like Coach Schiano wants them to. They outlasted Washington 21-18 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Not East Rutherford. Piscataway. Thank you. But Rutgers is 4-0. They go out to the Plains to play the Nebraska Cornhuskers this week. But good job so far by them. They're a tough team. They're going to play you one way. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play good defense, and they'll be hard to beat. Okay, on Saturday, a few things to mention. One, hats off to the Indiana Hoosiers. Coach Cignetti has them really rolling. They are 5-0. That's the first time Indiana's been 5-0 since 1967, which happens to be the last time they went to the Rose Bowl as the Big Ten representative. So we'll see. Their schedule doesn't really get that tough until maybe November. So we'll see if they can string together 8 or 9 in a row and be a factor here. Ole Miss fell to Kentucky at home. It's the first time since the late 1970s that Kentucky won in Oxford. So good on them, and a tough one for Lane Kiffin and the boys. Arizona won a tough night game at Utah. It's tough to win at Utah any time of the day, but especially at night. Those crowds are crazy there. It's a tough task, and Arizona went in there and won 23-10. I just don't know when Cam Rising's ever going to play again. He's questionable every week and stands on the sideline every week, it seems. The national champs, Michigan, held on. There was a bad call on an onside kick attempt by the Gophers near the end of that game as they were making a comeback. They called a guy offside on a onside kick that Minnesota recovered. It didn't look like he was. Mike Pereira and the crew didn't think that the guy was offsides, but they got the call and they held on for a 27-24 win. The night games, the Buckeyes, all I got to say is Jeremiah Smith. What a sensation this kid is. He just turned 19 years old. He was the number one recruit coming out of high school last year in the country, and you can see why. A few of the plays he made were just outrageous. They did have an opportunistic defense, the Buckeyes did this week. The quarterback from Michigan State I was impressed with, young Childs. He's a freshman. He has some potential. Made a couple of freshman mistakes. He's very talented, throws a good ball. Jonathan Smith will do well at Michigan State. I'm not really worried that that won't happen. I think they'll be much better as the year and the next couple of years go by. But a good win for the Buckeyes on the road, nevertheless. The Georgia-Alabama game, I'm sorry to say I didn't see a ton of it. That's because the Ohio State game was on Peacock. Boo. And you can't, you know, change very easily between the streaming service and get back to ABC, you know, to watch the Georgia-Alabama game. But what a comeback. It was 28-0 at one point, Alabama. They were running them out of the building. They actually fell behind with 4 minutes to go or so and got 75 yards on one play. Speaking of great freshmen, the 17-year-old, that's right, 17-year-old Ryan Williams for Alabama is just electrifying. He's so twitchy and so good with the ball after he makes the catch. His 75-yard touchdown catch put Bama up with the two-point play, 41-34. They held on. It looked to me like in the latter parts of the fourth quarter, defensive backs were just running around back there aimlessly. Guys were getting behind them. They were getting free. Nobody was near the receivers on some of these long passes that were thrown by both sides near the end of the game. But Alabama held on at home, and they are number one now in the polls. The other guy I want to mention is a guy that certainly should be headed to New York in December for the Heisman ceremony, Ashton Jante of Boise State. We mentioned him a few weeks ago. He's their tailback. This week, he went for 259 yards and four touchdowns in a convincing, really nice win for the Broncos, 45-24 over a good Washington State team. Ashton Jante, make your plans for New York in December now. He should be there. He is really something. The longest winning streak in the country still belongs to the Army Black Knights. They have won 8 in a row. That's the longest winning streak active in the country in FBS. Okay, on to other issues in the sport, and we do have a couple. The UNLV quarterback situation. Some of you may have followed that this past week. Matthew Sluka, the quarterback who led them to their first three victories this year, came over from Holy Cross after 4 years there. He announced Tuesday of last week that he was going to take a red shirt and left the team. He had played three games. He could still take a red shirt and not lose eligibility for that extra year, and he did so. He said he had been promised $100,000 in NIL money, and it did not materialize. Well, it's not clear who may have made that promise, really. It seems that he did get $3,000 for one appearance, and that's it. Under the current model, by the way, NIL regulations are left to state laws. So whatever the state law in Nevada is what goes. And I have no idea what that is. That's one of the major problems I have with this whole NIL era. I'm not opposed to the players making money. There have to be guardrails and rules about how it goes about, how it comes about. And it can't be 50 states, 50 different ways. That would give certain schools advantages over others if the laws were more lenient in one state than the other. And that's no good for competition. So we need congressional action. Like that's going to happen this year. To give the NCAA authority to regulate, quote-unquote, third parties involved in NIL transactions. Won't happen this fall, as I said. You know, the politics is too tough right now. I'll tell you this. The Rebels didn't miss him much Saturday night. Haj Malik Williams took over a quarterback, and he may be better than the first guy. They've won 59-14. He went 13 for 16 for 182 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And ran 12 times for 119, 10 yards a carry, and a TD. That's pretty darn good. They're 4-0, and they are pretty confident right now out there in the Mountain West. Okay, the other issue, not on the field, really, is we're back to conference poaching news again. And as a Midwestern guy who holds a degree from a Mid-American conference school, I was appalled, to see that the Mountain West has mentioned, among other teams that they're trying to poach, Northern Illinois and Toledo from the MAC. Now, as I said, as a graduate of a Mid-American Conference school, I imagine there are some of them out there in our audience. That's troubling. The Mac is kind of an island of serenity, really, in all this craziness that's going on in colleges right now with realignment and conference changing and conference dropping and adding and all that kind of stuff. It's a fairly geographical conference. They're going to tweak that a little bit and have UMass come in next year. But they've been in before, by the way. But geez, I can't imagine that Northern Illinois and Toledo would leave for the Mountain West and play all their games out there in the Pacific and Mountain time zones. Let's hope not, anyway. I'd love to see the MAC stay right where it is and prosper and be a great thing for us here in our area of the Midwest. Okay, well, that's my two cents on that. All right, we'll move on to week six. Week six has some games that are of note, I think. Let's start locally here.
Okay.
Our local teams, Iowa will be at Ohio State. That will be a 3:30 CBS game this week. That should be a good one. Iowa's tough. Ohio State's very, very good, and it's in Columbus, so I like their chances. But that's 3:30. Bowling Green will be at Akron in the MAC. Kent State will have a bye, and they need one right now, I would say. My picks last week. Let's take a look at the picks last week and see how we did. Going into the week, our record was 8-9-1 in our picks. We try to pick four games a week, so here goes. We picked Alabama +2 against Georgia. Check. We picked North Carolina, boy, +3. They were getting 3 points, and they lost by one, 21-20 at Duke. So we'll check that one off. That was, by the way, that was a rough loss for Mac Brown. North Carolina led 20-0 in the second half and lost 21-20, their rivalry game. First win for Duke in several years in the rivalry. Coming on the heels of the game where North Carolina gave up 70 to James Madison and lost. Rough times in Chapel Hill. They're waiting for basketball to start. So we won the Alabama game. We won the North Carolina game. I took Miami -17 against Virginia Tech. Boy, that was way off. And I took Boise State -7, and they blew out, as we said, their opponent this week. So we went 3-1. That puts us over 500 for the season so far at 11-10-1 in our weekly picks. So good. That's good. Now we'll put that all on the line, and we'll look at four more games in week six. The first one we'll do, the West Virginia Mountaineers travel to Oklahoma State in a Big 12 matchup. Oklahoma State is 8-point favorite at home. They've dropped a couple in a row. They lost to Utah, and they lost pretty badly at Manhattan against Kansas State this past weekend. West Virginia is a tough team. They're gritty. I'm going to go with the Mountaineers and take those 8 points. So I'll take West Virginia +8 at Oklahoma State. Second game we'll do is a rematch, if you will, of last year's national championship game. The Wolverines will travel west to Seattle to play the Washington Huskies. Washington is a 1.5-point underdog at their beautiful stadium by the lake there in Seattle. I'll take them. Take the Huskies +1.5. Michigan's not scoring a lot of points. They're playing the way they have to play, I think, which is run, 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 pass, run, 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 run. But I'll take Washington. The third game we'll try and prognosticate here. Good one in the SEC, kind of off the radar maybe for a lot of people. The undefeated Missouri Tigers will travel to Texas A&M, the College Station, to play the Aggies. The Aggies are 2.5-point favorites against undefeated Missouri and Kyle Field. I'm going to throw in for the Texas A&M Aggies. I'll give the 2.5 points and take Texas A&M against Missouri. The last one, I think game day is going out to Cal Berkeley for that famous ACC matchup between the Miami Hurricanes and the Cal Golden Bears. Cal's giving 13 points at home to Miami. I'll take them. I think Justin Wilcox is a good coach. There'll be a nice crowd out there probably in Strawberry Canyon. Miami's played really well. Cam Ward's having an outstanding season. I think Cal might keep it closer than the experts think. We'll take Cal given the 13-point spread. So again, we'll take West Virginia getting 8 at Oklahoma State. We'll take Washington getting 1.5 at home against Michigan. We'll take Texas A&M, giving 2.5 points at home against Missouri. And we'll take Cal, plus 13, at home against Miami. We'll see how that goes. Okay, anyway, I think that wraps it up for this week. A lot going on once again, hoping for the best and thinking of all of you down in the mountains there, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee. Best wishes and hope everything gets fixed real soon. We're all thinking of you up here. That'll do it. We'll be back at you next week for episode 8 of the Fifth Quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. Thanks for choosing us. Have a great week, everybody.